We get to reflect once more on the conversion moment of the tax collector, Levi. We usually refer to him as Matthew, but here the gospel uses the name Levi. So it's a key moment in his life, from being a tax collector to being a disciple. Or you might say, from being a sinner to being a saint. A turning point, a crossing of a threshold. It's a great story, but it's not only a great story, it's part of our Lenten instruction. We've started the great season of Lent. Everybody knows that last Wednesday was Ash Wednesday. And many people know that on the first Sunday, we're going to go into the desert with Jesus, face the temptations of Satan. That's tomorrow. But a lot of people don't know that in between Ash Wednesday and the first Sunday, we have a great instruction on what's going on here during the season of Lent. On Thursday, the day after Ash Wednesday, Jesus summarized his whole journey. He's going to suffer, he's going to die, and he's going to rise again. And he said, if you want to be my disciple, you have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That was Thursday. Today we get an example of what that's like. Yeah, Thursday was the instruction. Saturday we get an example. Levi or Matthew. What does it look like? Well, he's sitting at his post, customs post it's called, the tax collector. He's doing his ordinary work, which was kind of scandalous work. It was a treacherous work. But he was a tax collector. Jesus came up to him and said, follow me. He got up and followed him. He left everything behind, followed him. The great thing about this story is that it reduces the complex phenomenon of conversion down to the essentials, the basics. We're sinners. Jesus calls us. We follow him. That's it. Leave everything behind and follow him. That's all there is to it. It's great to have the essentials set before us, because that's true in every person, in every person's life, in every moment of conversion, in every decision for the Lord. It's always, we're in our broken human condition, Jesus invades with his grace, and we're given an opportunity to make the decision to follow him. It's a change inside, first of all. It's a decision. Will I follow Jesus or not? If I will follow him, that changes everything. If I say no, nothing changes. I'm stuck where I always was. Interior conversion, metanoia. Now, that's important to get the basics, but it's also important to realize that conversion is not only one decision in one moment. If it were, we wouldn't need the season of Lent. We would just need to say, okay, Lord, I'll follow you, and that's it. Now I'm a saint. Before I was a sinner, now I'm a saint. If it was that simple, then that's all it would take. One decision, and it changes everything. It is true that one decision changes everything, but it's not true that that's the only decision we ever make, or that's the only change that has to take place. Maybe if we're on our deathbed, it changes everything. Or a good example is the thief, the so-called good thief, who is crucified next to Jesus, right? He was a sinner. He was a criminal. He was being punished for his crimes, and he said, we deserve this. But at the last moment, while he's dying, he turns to Jesus and says, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. It's something like Levi getting up from his tax collector's post and following the Lord. The good thief at the last minute says, I make the decision, I make the interior change to belong to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And then he dies. So, did anything change? Yes, his situation didn't change. He was still on the cross. He was still being punished as a criminal. But he changed inside, and that change was enough to bring him into paradise. Jesus said to him, this day you will be with me in paradise. Changed everything. Even though from the look of things, it didn't change anything. Well, most of us, I hope we make the decision long before we're at the moment of our death. We're more like Levi. No, we make a decision to follow Jesus. The essential decision is to say, yes, Lord, I will follow you. You called me, I'll follow. You give me the grace, I'll respond to the grace. You reveal yourself to me, I respond with faith. That's the essential thing. But then we have to continue with our life. And then what? Well, then we have to make a whole series of decisions to follow Jesus. That's where Lent comes in. The 40 days. Yes, it's one moment, but it's also a whole lifetime. It's one conversion, but it's also a lifetime of conversion. It's a 40-day or 40-year journey of conversion. It's one moment of saying no to temptation, yes to the Lord, and it's many moments of saying no to temptation, yes to the Lord. Maybe you could compare it to birth, because conversion is often referred to as a being born again. It is something like being born again. But there's more to life than being born. After a child is born, it has to grow up. It has to go through day-to-day life and learn and practice and make a whole series of decisions. So that's something like what Levi had to do. After he made the decision to follow Jesus, then he had to make a whole series of decisions that corresponded to his following Jesus, what it means to be a disciple. So you see what I'm saying here. There's the one moment, there's the essentials, and then there's the many moments. There's the living them out, living out the journey of conversion. When we get to tomorrow's readings, some of you have already pondered tomorrow and the story of Jesus being tempted in the desert. Jesus didn't need conversion, right? He was always 100% in union with the Father. He was never a sinner. He was never a tax collector. He was always holy. But he, because he took on human nature, he had to make a series of decisions too. Every temptation, he had to respond with a no. I won't give in to temptation. No, I won't do what the devil suggests to me. Again and again and again. That's the journey of conversion. Now, as I said, Jesus didn't need conversion, but he did show us that while we're here in this life, we have to make a whole series of decisions to say yes to God and no to sin. This involves a lot of practical matters, right? The essential decision is interior, in the heart. But once we make that decision, there are a lot of practical implications. In the case of Levi, he has to relate to his friends and colleagues and neighbors. Now that he's changed inside, what's going to change outside? We see that he immediately gives a great banquet, a great celebration for his fellow tax collectors and others, it says, other sinners. He immediately shares the joy of conversion with others. He wants others to discover what he has discovered, to experience what he experiences. That's the life of a disciple. We make the decision alone in our own hearts, yes, but we're not alone. We're together with a whole company of sinners who are converted on the journey of being saints. Well, the part of the cross, in the case of Levi, is that he was judged by the Pharisees when he was a tax collector, and he's still being judged now that he's a follower of Jesus. It's part of the cross that people will not understand what we're doing and will not accept what we're doing. The Pharisees complain and say, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" As if there was some other company to join. There isn't anybody else. That's the human family, tax collectors and sinners. There aren't any perfect people to hang around with. There's just tax collectors and sinners. Why does Jesus eat with tax collectors and sinners? Because he doesn't want to eat by himself. He wants to eat with us. The Pharisees have this idea that there are two different kinds of people. There's the sinners and then there's the holy ones. No, there's just sinners. And the two camps are sinners who remain committed to their sinful life and sinners who are on the journey of conversion. That's the two camps, right? All sinners, but the question is whether the sinners have decided to follow the Lord or not. Levi decides to follow the Lord, and perhaps many others who joined him in the banquet got the idea. Maybe not. Maybe they just enjoyed the food and they didn't change. But some of them realized, oh, there's something here that's worth following. The Pharisees are the ones who didn't get the message. They didn't realize that they were being called to conversion too. This is the danger when people are religious, doing religious things like we do during Lent. The danger is that we might think, oh, we're not sinners anymore and we're already holy. Very dangerous attitude to take on, because then we exclude ourselves from the company that Jesus is gathering. We exclude ourselves from the great work Jesus is doing in calling us to conversion. How does Jesus himself describe it? He says, those who are healthy do not need a physician, but the sick do. So if we think we're healthy, well, then we're in trouble, because we're not going to turn to the physician. We're not going to seek a doctor if we think we're healthy. Well, we might be healthy physically, but we're not healthy spiritually. Nobody is. We're born fallen in a fallen world. We need a doctor. We need a savior. Jesus says, I have not come to call the righteous to repentance. Who are the righteous? There aren't any. Everybody's called to repentance. We saw this on Ash Wednesday. Everybody's called to join in the fast. Everybody. Children, old people, newly married, everybody. Called to join the fast, join the journey of conversion, of penance. Because Jesus did not call the righteous to repentance, he called sinners. He does call sinners. He's calling us to repentance. Now, as I say, there's a lot of practical implications, and some of them are brought out in today's first reading. What happens when we follow the Lord? Well, we also turn away from nasty language, what Isaiah calls oppression, false accusation, and malicious speech. It's a fancy way of saying bad language, lies, attacks, gossip, malicious speech online, anything to do with the misuse of the gift of language. We turn away from all that. Then we look to the needs of others, what Isaiah describes as giving bread to the hungry, satisfying the afflicted, doing for other people things that they need, even being willing to sacrifice what we have for the good of others. That's part of being a part of conversion. It's part of being a disciple. It's a natural practical implication or effect of being a disciple, that we look for what other people need and we provide for them. Well, Isaiah has a whole long description of this. It started actually in yesterday's first reading, what kind of life a converted person lives. It's not just for show. It's not just superficial changes. It's not hypocrisy. It's real change, real self-denial, real turning to God, and real willingness to serve others. That's the journey of a disciple. And since we're here at the very beginning of Lent, we decide to take on this journey. We know it will take effort, it will take time, it will take 40 days, but if we don't make the decision now, we won't go anywhere. So let us join the example, let's join the journey of Levi, of Matthew, and of every sinner who has decided to follow the Lord. Let's make the decision and then make the whole series of decisions to be faithful disciples of Jesus.